be able to come back again. One of the days of learning that takes place here on the secular holidays, we have to believe that the Rebbe Shlomo creates everything for a purpose and for the purpose of Klal Yisrael. So this must be why Labor Day was created. As was just mentioned, the call it the institution, the phenomena of El, it's somewhat mysterious. It's not structured. Every other time of the year, it says Yimei Tshuva, Sukkot, Pesach, everything else is structured. Here's what you do to take advantage of this time. Thank you. And El is it's kind of open-ended. People do whatever inspires them. And I think that every year we try finding something we can sink our teeth into, something that'll allow us to feel like we're doing something to prepare for the upcoming Yom Neroyim, Yom Simcha. And I want to share some observations, some thoughts. One of the, and this is, most of this crowd will be able to relate to this. Once upon a time, when we wanted to take trips, we'd go to AAA, and they made up a trip tech. All of us shalom. And it was a distracting thing. You'd go before the trip, you'd go into the office, and sit there, and they'd put together these books with all the different places, and you'd flip it while you're driving, and find the hotel you want to stay. It was a thing. It doesn't exist anymore. Been replaced. But imagine setting out on a trip and not having a destination. The likelihood of arriving at that destination that doesn't exist is probably likely because you're not heading anywhere. But there has to be a destination if we're going on a trip. Where are we heading? We're entering into this time period of Elul, Yom Neroyim, Yimei Simcha. What is it that we're aiming for? So they tell a story about there was a tremendous Beilid, incredible Talmud Chacham, printed a large number of Sfarim on Kabbalah. His name was Abhilel of Paritch, was a Talmud of the Mitzvah Rebbe, Chabad, and then was by the Tzemach Tzedek. But it was an incredible bayah and an unbelievable person. Erev Yom Kippur, Reb Hillel in the morning comes in to the Beis Medrash, and standing there is a woman. She's weeping. And Reb Hillel goes up and says, "What's wrong?" So she says that she's an almana with several little kids. She hasn't been able to pay her rent. And the landlord has given her warning after warning. And this is it. She's on her last straw. She doesn't pay the rent. She's going to be thrown out on the street with her little kids. And he says to her, "How much do you need?" And she named some, that she had all kinds of back rent. There was several hundred ruble that she needed to pay up in order to be able to stay in her dear. So Bill said, "Wait here, I'll go into the Mishmedesh." There was a packed Mishmedesh because they were seeking to come for Yontif. And he went from person to person. And he ended up with 20 ruble, 30 ruble, but nothing compared to the hundreds that she needed. And he realized that this was a dire situation. He said, "You know what? You go home, I'm going to come back to you, I'm going to go out and raise the money." And he started wandering through the town. And again, he's making rubles, which was significant money, but it wasn't going to make what he needed. And as he's walking by the local bar, I don't know if they have those in Chicago or Wisconsin, Milwaukee, we have a lot of bars. He hears a tumult going on. There's a lot of noise, laughing. And he decides, "You know what? I got to try my luck." He walks in. And there's an entire table of yidden, for sitting and drinking Erev Kippur. It's a mitzvah to drink, but unfortunately they weren't doing this for the mitzvah. And in he walks with his white beard and the whole gestalt. One of them was already having a few drinks, says to the rabbi, come join us. So he sits down. He says, what are you doing on Erev Kippur in a bar? So he tells them about this plant. And they decided they were going to have some fun. They said, no, you know, Grandma, we're going to fill up a glass of 97%. It's actually 96% alcohol. You drink the whole cup. The guy says, I'll give you a quarter of what you need to raise. So Bill says, bring it on. They bring in this cup. And Rebillel, as we know, they know how to drink. And he downs this cup. They'd never seen anything like it in their life. So the second guy at the table says, you know what, Rabbi, if you drink another cup, I'll match his donation. And they figured it was impossible for a human being to be able to survive with this much alcohol in his system. And he does it, and the guy hands over the money. And this repeated itself four times. And Abel had the money he needed. But he was stoned. He was gone. He goes and gives the woman his money and staggers into the mishmash for Kol Nidre. Abel walks up to the Arkadish. The entire tzibur, hundreds if not thousands of chassidim are there. The son of Tzedek is sitting in this place. And Reb Hillel, the most exalted chassid that was there, walks over to the Aron Kodesh, pulls aside the pareches, and says, Atoreis of the Dach, Yashem Walikim, Enoim of Adoim. And a hush falls over the Mishmash. Reb Hillel collapses to the floor, and they carry him out. And Loim didn't know what to do with him. Kol Nidre night, Reb Hillel is that drunk that he confuses Kol Nidre night with Simchas Torah night. And Tzemach Tzedek gets up and says to him, Rabbeisai, the destination of the entire season of Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Aser Shemay Tshuva, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, the destination is that we should be able to come to Atah HaReis HaLadas. For most of us, we have to go through the whole process. Reb Hillel was able to reach there tonight at Kol Nidre. He's already arrived at the destination of Atah HaReis HaLadas. It's a great story. But what does it mean? What is it that we're aiming for? What is this Atah HaReis HaLadas that's supposed to be the last, the final point that we reach during this Yom season? So I want to share with you a Kedushas Levi. It's a theme that repeats itself throughout the Sefer. And I always assumed that it was primarily a Hasidic thought. And I will dispel that notion for you in a moment. He addresses the Pasuk of Ahoye Ekev Tishbo Zabishvot Amoye, a parish 2 weeks ago. It will be at the end, or because of you kept my mitzvahs, Vashem Hashem Lekamus, and Brisvahs, and Chesed, Hashem is going to reward you with all kinds of great things. Says in the Mishnah later. That the fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu gives any of us reward for the mitzvahs that we do, who have pachus shevitanugim. The reward that we're going to receive from our mitzvahs is the least of all pleasures. Pachus, it's a very strong word. Right? We'll leave it at the least. The least of all pleasures. What's the true tithing and mischar? Who are mitzvah gufa? The mitzvah, the real reward is the mitzvah itself. The fact that a human being is able to provide a nachas ruach, the Yotzer is able to give up his Baruch Hu pleasure coming on.
Says Rabbi Yitzchak, I'm not making this up. It's a Mishnah, Berachos Yomos. Schar mitzvah mitzvah. The reward of a mitzvah is the mitzvah itself. So we were always taught, okay, the schar mitzvah mitzvah means that we're going to get another opportunity to do another mitzvah. So that's mitzvah, Berachos mitzvah. Schar mitzvah means that the real reward for performing a mitzvah is the fact that we were able to do this mitzvah itself. The fact that Hashem pays us reward in the world to come, that's the least of it. The ikar timing needs to be the mitzvah itself. The fact that a person, a human, can perform the will of his Creator, and he can bring joy to the Creator of the world. He says, that's what the Pasuk is saying. So obvious. Bahaya, Eker, what's the true destination, the true reward is the fact that you get to perform Hashem's will. That's the real destination, that's the real reward. Now, they have great footnotes in this version. So first of all, he brings it, Tom Zaki, he has said this in the name of his Rebbe, Moshe HaKadosh, in several places, he brings this explanation of schar mitzvah. But then he says as follows, that the Medrash Shmuel proceeded, writes, schar mitzvah, schar aveira, aveira means that the performance of the mitzvah itself is the reward. And is brought in greater depth from the Reish's Chachma, who quotes it in the name of Rabbi Yosef Yaivitz, who was one of the tzaddikim, who was banished from Spain. And he says the same explanation, schar mitzvah means that the reward of the mitzvah is the mitzvah itself. Yeah. Then quotes a shlach kaddish. It's a very important shlach kaddish because it reframes our idea of b'chal of what schar mitzvah means. He says that there's two types of reward in the world, says the shlach. For instance, you want to get your kid to sit still for davening. So you tell a kid, if you sit still and you daven nicely, I'm going to give you a lollipop. As they get older, I'll give you a car. But you know, it's generally how it progresses. Now, the lollipop or the car is not an inherent result of the davening. Now, you're going to close the coach, you're going to get a star, if you get enough stars, you're going to get a prize, a trip. Those are not essentially connected. Says the Shlokha, Yishchar mitzvah mitzvah means that it's inherent to the mitzvah itself. The reward is the actual result of the mitzvah. This is a very interesting language. It's tivi ruchani. It's part of the nature, it's the spiritual nature that comes as a result of the person's action. Then they call it tzlach. Tzlach is the Rebbe Yehuda on Brochas Daf Lamed Gimel. He says an amazing thing. Schar mitzvah, he ha mitzvah ba'atzah. The reward for the mitzvah is the mitzvah itself. Ki ha'olam haba, ein loy achila v'shtiya. The world to come, we're not going to have sushi, despite what they tell us. There's no eating and drinking in olam haba. Rak, lehenes v'zibashchina, the reward that we're talking about in the world to come, is that we're going to enjoy basking in the rays of the shchina. The liskos lahasig hasaga miflah, we're going to be able to grasp things that we could never grasp in this world about godliness, about Torah. That's what Adam Avoh is. Says the Tzlar. That is, in essence, what's happening when we fulfill a mitzvah in this world. Every mitzvah we do, we are creating a bond with the Shechina, meaning that the things we're talking about that take place in Olam Haba are happening right now. We are now basking in Ziv HaShechina. Right now we've created those asaras. But in this world we have a problem. We have fleshly eyes, or if you will, we have spiritual cataracts. So we can't see reality. The reality is that the effect of that mitzvah is happening right now as we perform any and every mitzvah. There's an incredible dveikus b'shchina. We begin to question it because we're not feeling it, we're not sensing it. She says that has nothing to do with the reality. The reality is absolutely true. It's happening right now, today, as we fulfill every single mitzvah. With every word of Torah, with every bracha we say, we're creating dveikus b'shchina. Can't feel it because we have calluses that don't allow us to feel it. Vezel Kalmanus Rabbi Seimuzal says the name of Yehuda, Schar Mitzvah Mitzvah. Now, right now it's happening. I am Dovek Bashem. No different than the greatest tzaddikim who are sitting in Adam Abba right now. The same thing is happening for me right now. I don't have to wait for 120 years. I'm doubling in the Shechina right now. I can't enjoy it as much because I can't feel it at this moment. But the Dveikus is perhaps greater for a Jew who's being Isaac, the mitzvah in this world, as Chazal tells us, Yalfa Sha'akas, Mutara Mitzvah, Spayla Mazah, Mikol Chaya the Baba. The Dveikus that a person can attain while they're fulfilling a mitzvah in this world is greater than all the pleasure that a person can acquire. In all the delights of Eilat Baba. Now, there's this thing out there called chinuch, and everybody tries their best to keep their children, their talmidim, in check. So, for many years, there was a method where the enticement or the chinuch was done by explaining the harm and the fires of Gehenna. Or for that matter, the delights and the pleasures of Gan Eden. The problem is that it's very hard for a person to delay gratification. The pleasures of this world are presenting themselves to me right now, in real time. And you're trying to convince me that I shouldn't do something because in 120 years, I'm going to be punished for this in Gan Eden. Something I can't see, I can't imagine. And as time goes on, that method is less and less effective, as we see with the number of children and young people who are straying from Torah mitzvahs. It's just not an effective mode of communication. We have to be able to embrace the world of immediate gratification. And that means that we have to stop selling Yiddishkeit based upon the Schar in 120 years or Eidish in 120 years. Not denying Kasashol that it exists. But it has to be now. The Dveikus that a person creates is now. And that's what Chazal are driving home when they tell us Schar Mitzvah, Mitzvah, Schar Aveira, Aveira, is that it's happening right now. How we communicate that obviously has to be processed. But it's not about something that's going to take place in the future. It's something that's taking place right now. The Sfasenis from Tokir Shabbatavid adds a knetch to this. He says, Mohaya Ekev. You know what the lowest thing is? The ikiv is the heel, it's the lowest thing. It's the fact that somebody might serve based upon Rashad Rasham the Kamalachas and Mr. Zachanasim. The lowest type of service that exists is somebody who's serving because someday they're going to get a lollipop for this. That's Mahaya Ekiv. That's the low point of an Eved Hashem. Reality of somebody who serves and is serving now because I'm Dovek Bashem right now. that a tiny speck of a human being has an opportunity to perform a sheirus, to perform a service for the infinite creator of the world now, that's something we have to work on. I've shared this with many times when I was a kid. And I was in New York when I was 10 years old. I went on to yeshiva there, and my father came to speak at the Agudah convention, the Agudah dinner. So the who's who of Kol Yisrael was still around then, and at the reception before the meal, the guy coming out, he was sitting there, and he called me over and asked me if I could get a tea for him. And I remember distinctly how tall I felt with the fact that Rabbi Yankiv asked me to give him a tea. Now, multiply that infinitely. The Rebbeinu Shlomo is asking us, the term avoda means service. How we wrap our heads around that is not our business. That's the fact. The law of the Rebbeinu Shlomo tells us, I want you to serve me. And that means that we are providing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and HaHasrach the fact that a human being was here but for a moment in time, has the capacity to provide a sheirus, a service for the Rebbeinu Shlomo, has to be made in our own eyes and by extension the eyes of those around us as being the most incredible thing that can take place. So much so that Tzaddikim used to say that if a person came into this world to perform a single mitzvah, go through all the misery of life, to perform one sheirus for the good of the life would have been worthwhile. That has to be the attitude. Parshas Mirei, Sfasemis, and as is often the case, he'll speak on the same pasuk in various years, and then he adds an element each year that wasn't there before. So he speaks about the pasuk of Banamatim Hashem Lekech several times. Like to see Mukar Khabinech on the base, like this guy to do, you're not allowed to, a Jew is not allowed to rip his skin, Beine Nechem specifically between his eyes for a person who's died. And we know that the Chazal learned from like this guy to do, that you're not allowed to make a good as a good. There's all kinds of halachic issues of people with different minhagim, doing things together, doing things separate. There's a whole Shulchan Aruch just on these halachas. So the Sefer says, almost simple pshat for starts, that if a Jew views himself as a neshama, as bonimatim l'shem l'kechem, then the automatic result will be that a person will not mourn excessively, because that's where neshama belongs. As he quotes a magnificent Zohar. The Zohar says that there's a neshama. It makes a comparison, a mashal. A king has a child, and he sends the child out of the palace to the common folk to learn how the kingdom needs to operate. You don't learn much from sitting in the palace. You gotta be on the ground. You gotta see how the sewer systems work, how the electricity works. And he sends them out to learn the ways of the mothers. And that is until he learns, and he learns the ways of the palace of the king. Shoma Malka, the king hears that the prince is mature, he's smart, he knows, he now understands the operation of the melucha, is ma'avad. What does the king do? Biruchimo Dibrei, because of his love for his child, he sends the queen, his child's mother, to go fetch him and bring him back. And bring him back to the Hechel. V'chadei ime kol yom, says the Zohar, so that the king could delight with him all day long. So he says that the people who lived around the prince in that province were crestfallen. They were shattered. The prince departed in crying and weeping, until one chacham among them said, "I don't understand you. He's a prince. A prince belongs in the palace. Doesn't belong in one of those commoners. He belongs in the palace. We're going to miss him. But that's where he belongs." Says the Sozemes, if a person understands Bonim Adam Lashem Alekecha, the result will be like this Gaidu. And he draws a parallel between the mitzvah of Tfilin, which is Ben Enechem, meaning keep this, this is your focus, to the Isra of Leif Tiskoidu Ben Enechem. Don't make that separation between her. Don't allow deception to come into play. Don't let yourself just get distracted from your princehood. And this is a theme that repeats itself throughout his sefer. Sfasemis defines simcha, the elusive term simcha. Says, I already wrote that the emotion of simcha takes place b'ha'aras ha'neshama. Whenever the neshama shines in a person, whenever the neshama is awoken, where it's, it exists, it's alive, a person can sense the neshama, that's where there can be an experience of simcha. He says, because the main simcha takes place in Gan Eden, as we say, by every chasna and benching, shasimcha b'mayim, simcha takes place on high, that's where there's simcha. He says, therefore, on Shabbos, where a Jew receives a neshama yisera, there's simcha, because there's a greater consciousness of a person's neshama, and therefore Shabbos becomes a zman of simcha. The same takes place, says the Sfasemis, when a Jew is oil on the regal. When he goes into the Beis Mikdash, kibul neshama yisera. A Jew is infused, just like on Shabbos he gets a neshama yisera in time. When he goes into the space of the Beis Mikdash, a person gets a neshama yisera, and he says each yontif. So on Pesach he receives the neshama, a ruach, on Shavuos he gets the neshama, and on Sukkis, nefesh and ruach, and the sukkot he gets the neshama, and therefore the pasuk says at that level v'nisaach sameach. That's why specifically on sukkot, where we have the final infusion of the level of neshama, therefore there's a mitzvah, or there's an experience, not even a mitzvah according to what he's saying, when you go to the other regal and you get the final infusion of the highest level of neshama, that's where there can be the greatest simcha. Now listen to what he says and how we can apply this to Ella. Commensurate with how much neshama awareness there is, to that degree is our identification with the body diminished. Remember the pie graphs? You have these constant lines where one automatically will always impact the other. The greater amount of neshama consciousness will be, to that degree, will, does it push out the level of guf. Says that's what zachar and shamar and shabbos are. Zachar is the awareness of our neshamas. Shamar is be careful not to allow the consciousness, the awareness, the identification with the body to infringe upon the simcha of the neshama. Because invariably, these are going to be moving targets. Zachar is raise the awareness of the neshama, and shamar is be careful that you don't get swallowed up by the body. says, and that is the concept that you have at all times, simcha and yira. That says, Be'aliyas HaRegel, yira, yira, that there was a tremendous trepidation, there's a huge amount of fear that took place when a person entered the Beis HaMikdash. At the same time, that they have this simcha and the neshama. What's the fear about? The fear is lest the person fall into or back into his identification with his goof, with the pleasures of the body, which ultimately, chalila, will diminish the amount of soul consciousness that exists. This sheds a whole new light on the concept of tshuva. Tshuva is this moving scale of awareness of who am I? I'm going back to my essence, I'm going back to a place where I want to identify with my neshama. I don't have to create a new me. I just have to get back to my true identity, which is my neshama. And then it's invariably going to involve putting down one koyach, another to raise the other koyach to the fore. When Moshe Lekoshnitzer writes that his father, the Koshnitzer Magid, experienced simcha, he looked at him on Rosh Hashanah, it was mashal yichad. His simcha was be'en arach. When you look around most people in Rosh Hashanah, there's a certain sense of dread. And that's not just because of the Bali Tefillah. There's a fear. They're called Yomim Nergoyim. But when we have an understanding that these are two sides of the coin, that to the degree that a person identifies with his neshama, will the Inyan Yaguf be less significant? And we understand that these are going to be moving targets, then somebody like the Koshnitzer Magid on Rosh Hashanah is going to experience incredible simcha. I want to run out an idea by you, which I believe has some evidence. He says later on, he talks about that what we know, for instance, that on Shabbos, a person is not supposed to be involved with their weekday stuff. Kiruri, Torah, the Chazal tells us that a person is allowed to think about such things, but certainly not one of the things that is encouraged. A person can't control their thoughts all the time. I'll give you a metaphor. You have a couple or a child that's for many, many years. And finally, after 15 years, they have a baby boy. And they're planning a bris like has never been, never happened before. And the father wants to be mahana, all the hundreds of people to come to celebrate with him, and he orders fresh bagels with all kinds of schmears. And he gets regular cream cheese and cream cheese with chives. Comes to the bris, the whole thing is set up. Somebody comes over to him and says, they only have plain cream cheese. What kind of dent do you think that piece of information is going to make on the simcha of the father who is experiencing this bris of a child who was born after many years? If he's normal, it's not even going to be a bleep on the screen. It's just not going to register at all. It's going to be meaningless. Yet we all know that when sometimes we ask somebody to buy us cream cheese with chives, they come back with plain cream cheese, we get upset. So what's the difference? The difference is, what else is really going on in your life? If a person's involved in something real, and something lofty, in a pursuit that's worthwhile, if your hashkafa is schar mitzvah, then I'm involved at this moment in providing a service for the Borei Olam, which boggles the mind that something like that is even possible. How can it be that the balance in my checkbook is going to be of any significance to me? Or take it further. His language here is Ube'emes imamisa atzma enematzemes esadvim. Death itself is of no significance to a person. Meaning I'm here to serve as long as the Rebbe Shalom gives me the years to serve. And I recognize, what about the Hashem again? I am a child. My neshama is the Rebbe like of this brother. He says, and I understand that this world is only come shleimus because I'm going back home. Memela, this is his language. Memela kol daigus b'yisurim sheba olam hazeh. Any and all worry, any and all suffering that take place in this world, any ba'avim in oisai will not confuse him. Well, the yipsukum yasu kachem and it won't impact him. How can it affect? It's the chives and the cream cheese. And a month from now, we're going to be standing for Shoshana Shem Bedavni, and the Baal Tefillah is going to be chanting on the Sabbath. And many among us are going to throw the talisim over their heads, and are going to weep. Mi yechia, mi yomos, mi ba'esh, mi ba'mayim. Need the kitzai, we like the kitzai. All of these frightening things. And everybody weeps, he weeps. There's no tefillah there, by the way, have you noticed? It's just the state of events. Here's what's going to happen today. We're going to be judged. And then everybody screams together. Tshuva. Sviva, it's Dokum, Mavir, that's where I say. And here's what's interesting. As far as we can tell, the greatest tzaddikim throughout the ages, up until now, have departed from this world. The Chofetz Chaim was Nifta, Chaim Kinevsky was Nifta, Hashem HaKadosh was Nifta. They all did tshuva. Tefillah, stuff. They were experts at it. What happened? Rav Yehuda Israel Gzeira. I don't think that's what those words mean. I don't think Rav Yehuda Israel Gzeira means Mevatlin Israel Gzeira. What it means is that when a person's life is defined by tshuva and tefillah and tzedakah, Maviren, it pushes aside. It has no meaning to the person. Those Royag Zera are irrelevant, as the Sosemis is saying here. It's not what's important. And the proof is in what we continue saying afterwards. What is important? And Kitzvah the Shleisacha, and Kitzvah the Shleisacha, a Jew has an opportunity to cleave and connect to an infinite, timeless creator. That's what's important. Anybody who saw Tzadikim, as they used to say in Kitzvah, I was in Babylon several times during the davening. It was very hard to get into a place where you could see. But I positioned myself, this was much brilliant on my part. The walls made of marble had a very strong shine on it. So I was able to see his reflection. As he danced, and he was not even young, danced in his place, Frank Kitzman. But it was an explosion of incredible joy. Because we're drawing a contrast here between that which dies, that which is miserable. Those who focus constantly on whatever negativity is going on, and people who are able to celebrate the fact that it's possible for a human being, through whatever years that this world is giving us in this world, that we have the capacity to connect and cleave to the Borei Olam. There's no greater nace that can be possible in the human experience. says Mavir in Israel, if we stay focused on what's important, it's going to push away anything else. Such as that it's going to give us the capacity to handle it. That's for psychologists. It's the prioritization in our lives is such that it can't have value. It can't. It's not going to impact the person. When you look at great trees, that's how they live their lives. Look at the Matzevas, I just happened to notice recently. They didn't suffer, they had pain. But what they were able to do far outweighed anything of that nature. We have this, somebody watching Claudia Zoller would argue that we are somewhat schizophrenic. The beginning of Chodesh Tishrei is this intense time of yirah, of dread, and then 4 days later we're transformed into these beings of simcha. According to what the Sfas is saying here, there are two sides of the same coin. The dread and the fear is only the result of a person who doesn't want to lose their grasp on what's real. That's what the fear is. The fear is lest a person get distracted or chas v'shalom overwhelmed by what the world calls real life. Who's the one who's involved in real life? And why don't you come join us here in the world of reality? No, that's not the world of reality. The world of reality is where a Jew has the opportunity to connect with reality, to be one with the only true reality. So it's Shomer and Zohar. It's the Yom Merayim and the Yom Simcha. They're all two sides of the same coin. The Targum on the world of the word Shlach Lachmanoshim, Yisuru Eseretz Kenan. The word Yisuru says Targum Ya'alalu. The word of Elul means to scout out. We have a month that the Rebbe Shlomo gifts us with his abundant love to allow us to take a look at it. And the Yiddish says the song, this is wichtig and this is nicht. What's important and what's not? What's worth getting aggravated about? And what's just, by comparison, it can't be worth the aggravation. Ataharis of the Das is that ultimate clarity. The Christ also at Kabbal Sotar. Ki Hashem lo dekim eved bogadei. With which we open the Hakafis of Shmini Atzeres and Sifra Sotar. We open actually every Shabbos the Kabbal Sotar. But the statement is that if we follow the triptych, from doing the research of Chodesh Elul, of investigating what's important and what's not, what's worth the aggravation, or what has the capacity to throw us, what's hurting. So we say on the Pesuk there that the Baruch Hu gave to Kayin Ois, the Vilti, what's the language there? The Vilti, Hakei Soi Komet Soi. Yeah? The walk over here? Pretty sure that's the language. Hashem gave kind and ice so that comments and things happen in life. You get the offended man, the chulila, or whatever. We all know the things that the bumps in the road. Rashi said to Cain, you can't live life by getting completely thrown with everything that comes to you, with everything that happens to you. That's not living a life. That's a person's, to the opposite extreme of you, they're completely tied up with their definition of their goal. If we keep our eye on the destination of the fact that schar mitzvah, mitzvah, not then, not in 120 years, but today, re'ei, anoichi, leisim, lechem, hayoim, brachim, kolim. I'm giving you a brachim, kolim today. Today, when we have an opportunity with each and every moment to connect and bond ourselves with our Creator. That schar is today. And that carries us with the clarity of the determination of following a path towards Atarei Sevedas. And we come to a point where we're going to have clear vision. We sit down with our kids and the kids get all upset that somebody destroyed their Lego set. And we look at them and our feeling is a foolish child. You could rebuild it. It wasn't so important. The kids cracked out the ears and crying. They put together all 12 pieces. And now their sister destroyed it. Malachim Zayn, really, we're laughing at that. We're not doing the exact same thing all the time. What are we cracking about? What are we crying about? What are we celebrating? That's what the Alagun, that's what the month of Elul was, for us to get a grip, measure what things are inherent to our neshamas, which are the things that are going to expand the simcha in our lives, the revelation of our neshamas. And by doing so, we'll set ourselves on the path to a truly meaningful existence. Existence that will be bound with tremendous ahava and simcha every step of the way. And the merit of our children during this period in Rosh Hashanah bless us all with a year of Shnas Geula of Yeshua, what each of us need.
Amen. Amen.
See you in person.